know Rudolph and Frosty and Charlie with his tree. Santa the Grinch and Christmas carols aplenty. But do you remember less famous specials from past Decembers? Small One, the Little Donkey, who was rather weak and thin. Arnold, who just wants to find the perfect gift for Mr. Wynn. And then there's Boo the Troll Prince, wondering just what Christmas is. These are forgotten specials that you just might have missed. Then three chilly winter days, they ended up on Tune My Heart. This podcast about faith and animation decided to make them the stars. Will all the listeners love them? We will have to wait and see if these forgotten specials will get to play on your TVs.
Merry Christmas and welcome to another episode of Tune My Heart, where we look at animated films through a Christian lens in search of faith-relevant themes and traces of eternal truth. If you're a longtime listener, you probably noticed that that was a very different intro than usual. And that's because we're celebrating the Christmas season with three special episodes about, well, specials. Christmas specials, that is. But while I, of course, enjoy the specials that we all know and love and watch year after year, I thought it would be fun to take a look at some lesser-known animated Christmas specials. So I reached out to three of my favorite former guests, and I think we came up with a very interesting trio of Christmas specials to take a closer look at. And hopefully, whether there are specials that you remember fondly or ones that you've never even heard of, you'll enjoy learning about how they resonate with the Christian faith and help remind us of what we believe. So put on your Christmas PJs, grab a cup of hot cocoa, and let's get animated about our faith. Joining me again for today's episode is artist and animator Monica Tyler.
Hi.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
Good.
So you might remember Monica from the How to Train Your Dragon episode a few months ago. One of my favorite episodes of 2025 for sure. We had a lot of fun on that one, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to say that she has agreed to do an episode with me sometime probably next year on How to Train Your Dragon 2. So we have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
But for today, we're going to take a break from dragons to talk about donkeys. Or rather, one specific donkey, the Small One. So the Small One, which is also known as A Christmas Miracle in the UK, is a 25-minute Disney short film that was originally released theatrically in December 1978 in front of a re-release of Pinocchio. It was based on a novelette of the same name by the author Charles Tazewell, which was published in 1947. And Pete Young, who was at that time an apprentice story artist at Disney, found a copy of the book in the studio's library of properties that they had optioned. And he apparently really liked the story and thought it had potential. So he started developing storyboards for it on his own at home. And then he brought them in and pitched the story to Ron Miller. At the time, Ron Miller was an executive producer on several Disney films, and he would go on a few years later to become the president and CEO of Walt Disney Productions. So Miller liked the concept and wanted to move it forward, and he got Vance Gerry, a veteran storyboard artist, to collaborate with Pete Young to kind of polish those storyboards up. There was a little bit of drama, I guess, within the studio over who was going to direct it. I think one of the nine old men, I think it was Eric Larson.
It was Wooly, I guess. I was just reading about this in Don Bluth's Somewhere Out There, My Animated Life, his autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look up because I was like, who's Wooly? But, yeah, he was one of the nine old men, Wolfgang Riedermann. So he stepped in and he was the one that really, I guess, put Don Bluth up to it. and told him to do it. So
okay, yeah. So well, Eric Larson, who was one of the other nine old men, thought he was going to be the director.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was some drama there, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then apparently they came in one morning and found out that the higher-ups had chosen Don Bluth to be the director instead, who was kind of one of the newbies at the studio, although I think he'd been there for several years at that time, and plus he had worked there previously, I think back in the Sleeping Beauty days even, but he was still seen as one of the new guys.
Right.
But he was an up-and-comer at the studio, and so he got chosen to direct it. He was also, I think, the director of animation on Pete's Dragon around the same time.
Yeah, that would come after. This is all fresh in my mind from reading his book.
Yeah, Pete's Dragon, which is one of my favorites. And I think he said that they kind of used the small one as practice for the animators for getting ready for Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, it was kind of the same group of animators, I guess, a group of some CalArts students that were working on both films. First Small One and then Pete's Dragon after that. And then The Fox and the Hound.
Yeah, so Don Bluth revised the story a little bit more. Apparently, Pete Young wasn't super happy with the changes that he made. We'll never know what Pete Young's original story looked like because we got Don Bluth's version. The film had a pretty small budget. He ended up writing, there's three songs in it, I think, and he wrote two of them himself. And then Richard Rich, who was the assistant director, wrote the third song. They recycled some animation from Sword in the Stone and The Jungle Book, which was pretty common practice at that era of Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll see that kind of thing a lot. And of course, as we know, Bluth would famously go on to leave Disney less than a year after The Small One came out and took a good chunk of the other animators with him to start his own studio. I know that, you know, obviously a lot of the people that stayed saw it as a betrayal at the time, but I think him starting his own studio that really ended up challenging Disney for dominance, we probably have him somewhat to thank for the Disney Renaissance because Disney decided to step up their game after that.
Yeah, it's all really, really interesting. I guess also at this time he was working in his garage on Banjo the Woodpile Cat.
Yep.
Which I guess when he leaves the studio, some of those same artists that worked on that are the ones that went with him. And among them, some female animators, which I think is really cool.
Awesome.
There were not as many female animators at the time. So
yeah. Yeah. Banjo was kind of their proof of concept to say, you know, like, yeah, we can do this on our own.
Yeah. It just sounds like there was a lot of turmoil in the studio at that time. And yeah, it's so fascinating. if you want to read more, read the book. Read his book.
Yeah. I have the book and I haven't gotten around to reading it yet. I need to.
Well, confessions. Yeah. Like I've had the book on my shelf and just when I was going to do this podcast, I thought, hey, I'm going to look up and see if something is in there that he wrote about Small One. And then I was really like, I stayed up way too late last night reading it.
Yeah.
And really fascinated. So it was like in his chapter, The Turning Point, that's what he really talks about all that. And yeah, like his feelings at the time and just kind of there being that competition. And he didn't really want to be competing with the other artists, but just struggling. And it sounds like he really didn't actually, at this stage anyway, want that pressure of being the director, but he did it anyway. And yeah, I personally found it interesting that he does mention his faith in the book here, that, you know, when things got hard, the only way forward, he says, he figured was to keep in touch with the man upstairs. I assume he's talking about God and obey the commandments. He wrote, some people might count to 10 to keep their cool. I chanted, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the rest. Be patient and kind, remain long-suffering and slow to anger. Forgive, have faith and hope. Practice charity. Don't just talk the talk, Don. I urge myself, walk it. So I think that's really kind of inspiring that he was leaning on God through his hardships, even as he was directing this film that had a connection to God's story about Jesus' birth.
Yeah, I got to see him talk a few years ago at a convention, and it's just really cool to hear him speak. And he's so friendly and so personable. But one of the things that he said, and I think someone asked him, you know, what's your secret? What's the secret to the stories that you make? And he said something along the lines of the difference or the secret is my faith. I think you have to have something deeper that you believe in that you're bringing through in your stories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we do need to note that Bluth was raised in, and as far as I know, is still a member of the Latter-day Saints or the Mormon Church. And that belief system has some pretty significant fundamental doctrinal differences from traditional Christianity. But I think we can still appreciate and respect his example of living out his faith and letting it influence his work.
Mm-hmm. And I love that he's his testimony of trying to put his faith into action.
Yes. So did you watch this short film growing up, Monica?
I think I did, yeah, because I remembered it. And I think I remember, I must have watched it maybe as part of like one of the Disney Christmas specials. I seem to remember on TV, they used to do some specials where they would show some of the old shorts and in between some live action footage of like a Christmas tree, and they'd have a narrator and just kind of this cozy like Christmas special they would do every year for a few years. So I'm assuming I watched it as part of that. It's probably somewhere on an old VHS tape with like Care Bears and My Little Pony, you know. I know I had some tapes. Yeah, like my parents recorded some stuff that I just watched over and over and over again.
Us too. Like that was how it was back in the day,
that's
right?
That's how it was. That's just what you did, yes. But I have a confession that because I did remember the film and I have rewatched it as an adult too, part of me, like I agreed to talk about it right away. And then part of me was like, nah, do I really want to? Because this is one of the few films that makes me just cry my eyes out.
Yeah.
I think it's that relationship in the beginning with the old donkey, and I love pets, I love animals, and just that little boy's love for that donkey comes through so clearly in those first scenes.
It does, yeah.
I just like when the dad is like, you gotta get rid of him, and I'm starting to like get all like teary-eyed just thinking of like remembering the scene. And the father is like a loving father, he's not like mean.
No.
But he's like, this is life, son, we gotta get rid of this donkey, and I'm like, no!
Yeah, it's kind of matter of fact about what the reality of things was.
Yeah.
I'm sure still is in some parts of the world.
Yeah.
Here in America, we probably are immune to that a little bit. But yeah, that if an animal wasn't able to pay for its keep anymore, you didn't keep it. And again, like you said, the father's not trying to be cruel or anything. He understands that his son really loves this animal, but he has to be practical.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, and this is, you know, probably some of Don Bluth's magic.
Mm-hmm.
They really do a good job of establishing just that sweet relationship between the boy and the donkey. And then so, yeah, especially as kids, because, you know, kids, we all love our pets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, adults, we love our pets too.
Yeah.
But the thought of, as a kid, of having to give up your beloved pet, yeah, it tugs on your heartstrings.
Yeah, heart-wrenching. I really want to watch this again.
Yeah, I have fond memories of watching this growing up too. It's kind of vague. Like, I know I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I had memories of it. But I feel like it has kind of faded off into Disney history. I don't think there's that many people of the newer generations who probably know about it unless their parents made them watch it, like me.
Right.
Like, if you're thinking of a famous Disney Christmas special, probably what comes to mind is Mickey's Christmas Carol, which came out about 5 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was in my head. As soon as you said that, I'm thinking Mickey's Christmas Carol.
That's the one. Like, that's the classic. And I think, you know, if they had intentions for this to become like their Christmas special, it didn't really happen. It got overtaken by Mickey. Which is understandable because Mickey's Christmas Carol is awesome too.
Mm-hmm.
It also has what is, in my opinion, one of the worst descriptions that I have seen on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I agree with that.
So it says, a young boy discovers the true spirit of the Christmas season. That was either written by an intern who didn't bother to watch the film, or it was written by AI.
Yeah, it tells you nothing about the. It's not even accurate, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Christmas season didn't exist yet when this story was taking place. Let's start there.
Yeah, I had to take a stab at my own rewrite for that. And I was like, okay, yeah, if I was doing the description, how would I do this? A young boy searches for a new home for his beloved donkey and discovers God's provision and love in providing a place for each of us. That's my edit.
That's perfect. The thing about the small one, too, is, and maybe this is why it never really took off as like a beloved Christmas special, at least not the one that lasted the test of time, is if you've never seen it or heard of it before, you don't necessarily realize that it is a Christmas story until you get to the end.
Right.
And we'll get to that, obviously, but spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. Stop this podcast and go watch it. It's a really sweet little movie. And
it's short.
Yeah, it's only 25 minutes. You've got some classic Disney animation. Mm-hmm. Really sweet story. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
Okay, so we always have our section where we talk about, is there anything in this film that Christians would object to? Overall, I don't think that there's much for us to object to in this. I mean, we should actually be excited that Disney did a movie that has direct relation to the Christmas story, the actual mm-hmm. Christmas story.
Yeah, and a very strong Christian theme. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. If God's not mentioned directly, I think you can definitely watch it as a story where God is intervening and where God is showing his hand. Mm-hmm. So the only two things that I could come up with that really picky Christians might have a problem with. One is if you're one of those people who's really picky about the details of the Christmas story and getting it all historically accurate, there is no mention of Mary riding a donkey in the Bible. A lot of our traditional portrayals do have her riding a donkey, and mm-hmm. I think most Christians don't have a problem with that. It doesn't say she didn't ride a donkey.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. The only other thing I think, you know, some people would maybe have a problem with a focus on loving an animal so much as this little boy does and kind of treating the animal as a person or a friend. Mm-hmm. I think most of us do love our animals very much, but we know that they're not people. And I think you see that in this story, too. Like you said, the father says we have to give away this donkey or we have to sell this donkey because he is not able to pay for his keep anymore. And the boy, you know, he's upset about it, but he accepts that. He doesn't throw a big fit about it or anything. He accepts it and he then wants to find a home for the donkey himself because he cares about it. But I would say Proverbs 12:10, one of my husband's favorite verses because he is a veterinary technician. So the first half of the verse says, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast.
Yeah.
So we were from the very beginning told to be stewards over the earth, including the plants and the animals and everything in it. And so that includes taking care of and caring for the animals that have been entrusted to us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that we should have much to object to in this film at all. It's a sweet little film. And again, a rare instance, especially getting into the 1970s, of Disney actually portraying a story that has a relation to the Christian faith.
Yeah.
So next we are going to talk about what we think a theme Bible verse for this short would be. And for me, this is a little tricky because I feel like there's two themes going on in this film. And so I'm going to focus on one theme, and I think the verse that you've picked focuses on the other theme. Mm-hmm. So the theme that I'm going to focus on is the theme of friendship, because mm-hmm. again, we see this very sweet friendship between this boy and this donkey and how he really wants to take care of this donkey and make sure that it finds a good home, even though he knows he has to give it up. So the verse that I chose is Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So focusing more on the first half of that verse, a friend loves at all times. So again, this is a donkey that's old and weak. It isn't much good to the family anymore, but the boy has chosen, he's not going to give up on the donkey. He's not going to say, well, it's not worth it for me to continue to be a friend to this donkey, or look how much money I could make if I sell this donkey mm-hmm. to someone who might not treat it well.
Yeah.
He is a very steadfast friend. And so I think that verse captures a friend loves at all times. That's what a true friend is. They don't love just when it's easy or when it's convenient. Mm-hmm. So what was the verse that you had picked out?
Oh, yeah. So the one I was thinking of when I was watching it is Psalm 138:6. And I just grabbed the ESV translation because that was the first one that came up when I searched for the verse. So, for the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, the haughty he knows from afar. And I was really thinking about the lowly aspect, how God cares for, you know, even the least of these.
Mm-hmm.
And small one is really portrayed as that. I mean, he's very undesirable because he is old and he is small and he can't do much. And in the beginning, in the opening scene, which I know we'll get to this, but the first person that the little boy meets who would buy him is the tanner, who only wants him. He doesn't want to love him. Mm-hmm. He just wants him dead. More sad. But anyway, so that's kind of what's been established of, you know, this donkey is so lowly, and most people, and even throughout the rest of the film, the other people they encounter, they also don't see him as anything special. The boy is the only one that knows he is special, that knows he is worth loving, and he's worthy of even life. Like, he cherishes that donkey's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought of that verse, that I see him as a very lowly character, but very, very loved character. And so the little boy is really close to, I think, God's heart in that sense, sharing God's heart and caring for this donkey.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome verse. And yeah, I think that's very much the other theme of this beyond friendship, is that God values and loves and can use
mm-hmm.
the lowly. What the world sees as weak or lowly or worthless,
yeah,
all created by God and all part of his plan. And I think we get that
mm-hmm.
in the opening song lyrics, which again, Don Bluth wrote those lyrics.
Yeah.
It says, there's a place for each small one. God planned it that way.
Yeah, I love those lyrics.
Yeah. And so we get to see what is God's plan for this donkey
mm-hmm.
that no one else thinks has any worth. So yeah, let's just get right into it. I think we've already talked about a lot of the plot points. It is a short film, so there's not that much to say about it.
Yeah.
But we talked about how we see it starts out in the morning. The little boy is feeding the donkey. Speaking of which, isn't it interesting that we never learn his name?
No, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, I don't think he had a name, yeah.
No, the only name that we ever hear is Small One, and then I think Joseph
says
his name at the end so that we know
know
who he is. But yeah, so the boy, or, you know, some people call him son, obviously. The father calls him son, but, you know, other adult characters will refer to him as son, just in that referring to a child sort of way. And speaking of the boy, also voiced by Sean Marshall, who was Pete in Pete's Dragon. So that's another fun little connection there.
Yeah, interesting.
So we see him taking care of his family's donkeys in the morning, and especially, you know, obviously he has a very special place in his heart for Small One. They kind of play with each other, and he tries to help him keep his ears standing up.
Yeah.
And the animation on the donkeys especially, it's very Don Bluth.
Yeah. I think that's part of what gets me, is just the character design of that donkey. He's so, I mean, for being like an old kind of decrepit character, he's so cute.
But he's very sweet.
Yeah.
You just want to pet him.
Yeah, he's just so cute.
Yeah, he's got a lot of character.
Yeah.
And so they go to work helping the boy's father, and the father is loading up wood on the other donkeys, and the boy is loading up little sticks on the back of Small One and picking out all the smallest sticks to make sure that it's not too heavy for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even with just those small sticks, Small One is struggling with the load. At one point, he falls over, I think, and drops a bunch of the sticks. And so the boy starts helping carry them.
Mm-hmm.
And the father says, don't you have enough work to do? Then you're going to do Small One's work too. But it reminds me of Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this little boy is showing the true meaning of friendship,
mm-hmm.
that he's trying to bear the burden for this little donkey because he loves him and wants mm-hmm. to help him succeed.
Yeah.
And then, as we said, that night, the father tells him that Small One is too old and too weak to keep carrying enough weight to pay for his keep. And he also makes the point that it would be merciful to sell him to someone who will not have to work him as hard.
Right.
So again, the father is not at all trying to be cruel, but he is being practical.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy is obviously upset but he accepts what his father is saying. And then he asks if he can be the one to find a new owner for Small One, which it's kind of a sacrificial moment.
Yeah.
Not just that he's sacrificing his animal, but that he's saying, I want to be the one to do it because I know this is necessary, but I want to be with him till the end.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that friend who sticks with you to the end and who sticks with you through the hard times. And this is, you know, he knows this is going to be hard to let go of his donkey, but he wants to do it for him.
Yeah.
And he promises Small One that he's going to find someone special to be his new owner.
Yeah. And this is the part where I'm crying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sweet. It's very, it's heart-wrenching.
It's just all of that. Yeah. It's just like, it's such a hard thing, but it is handled with compassion, and the child is so strong. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a very strong character to be able to face that without throwing a tantrum or just painting his father as the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's a very mature character.
Yeah, he really is. So in the morning, he takes the donkey to the city, but no one sees value in Small One like he does, as we discussed. First, he's sent to the tanner, who obviously only wants him for his hide. He runs away from that, understandably. He does not want to give up his friend to someone who's just going to kill him.
Right, which would have been easy money.
Yeah.
The tanner offers him what his father asked that he received for the donkey. The tanner offers him right away, but he's just like, nope.
Yeah.
No death.
Yeah, so again, he values his friend more than just getting the job done and being able to go home quickly.
Yeah, and I just thought of this. He literally flees from evil.
Yeah, that tanner's place is creepy.
Yeah, not that tanners are evil. And I don't mean to say that, but I mean, he represents evil in the story. So.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes to the auctioneer who's auctioning off all these thoroughbred horses, and he brings Small One up on the stage to be shown off to try to sell him there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the auctioneer just mocks Small One and laughs at him.
Mm-hmm.
Other people just call him scrawny or call him a bag of bones. I thought it was interesting, too. Like, there's all these scenes of money, like gold coins everywhere and money throughout the marketplace that they keep seeing. And I thought it was kind of an interesting, maybe showing what the world values versus what God values and what he wants us to value, which is other people, whereas the world is focused on money and status and all of these other things.
Yeah, and I think it's another illustration of how, yeah, just that concept of value, how in that scene, they see no value in Small One, but the little boy does still.
Right.
His value isn't tied to money.
Yeah. When he's arguing with the auctioneer, he says that Small One is gentle and kind.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, that's like, well, okay, that's no good to us. But he says he's good enough to be in a king's stable. And of course, that's a nice little bit of foreshadowing of where Small One is going to end up being.
Yeah. I love that line too. I think that was an important line.
Yeah. So as we've said, just like the boy sees value and worth in Small One, even though no one else does, God sees our worth and values us and has a plan for us, even when no one else can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also, if you're looking at it as God orchestrating everything in this movie or, you know, in what's happening in the story, it's also kind of about God's perfect timing and how things can look dark before they get bright again.
Yeah.
We can lose hope, but God still has a plan because they're getting towards the end of the day. It's starting to get dark. They're not sure what to do. They both look very hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, a man approaches the boy and asks if Small One is for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we find out that this man is named Joseph, and he looks very friendly.
Yeah.
He did a great job animating Joseph, too, of making him seem like, oh, yes, I want to give my donkey to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another great sign to the boy that this is the person that Small One is supposed to go to is Joseph asks him, what do you call him?
Mm-hmm.
He asks what his name is.
Yeah.
He's not just looking for a beast of burden.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to care for this animal in the same way that the boy does and see it as a friend and take care of it.
Yeah.
So he tells the boy that he needs the donkey to carry his wife on a long journey to Bethlehem, and she's pregnant. And of course, if you haven't figured out the twist ending by now, I think most people are getting it at this point.
Yeah.
The practical part of me does wonder if a small one was struggling carrying sticks, how he's going to carry a pregnant lady.
At this point, you don't care, though, because...
No, it's just, you know...
It's found nice people, so you don't care.
No, it's such a sweet movie. It's such a sweet story, and we're just going to ignore that part. Maybe Mary was just very petite. She was one of those petite pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure God made sure that was the case. Yeah, so, and we see the boy watching them as they go on their journey towards Bethlehem. And then at the end, we see the Christmas star shining down on the stable in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, the star kind of, the light that it's shining kind of looks like a cross. I have read that it's actually been edited to look less like a cross than it originally did.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I still see the cross there very clearly.
Yeah, it still sounds good to me. And that was a beautiful scene too, though, how the little boy watches. I love how they do that after Joseph takes small one and you see Mary on it. And then the little boy kind of climbs up these rocks and kind of follows and watches.
Yeah.
As long as he can, you know.
Yeah, it is a beautiful little scene. Yeah,
yeah. For sure. Further driving home his love for the donkey and kind of a sweet, peaceful ending.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you see that he's sad and he says goodbye, mm-hmm. but he's also happy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's happy that his friend is going to a better place.
Yeah,
where he's going to have people who love him. And of course, he doesn't know what the true spirit of Christmas is. he doesn't know that this is. This donkey is carrying the woman who is carrying the Son of God within her womb.
Yeah. If I was looking for the true spirit of Christmas in this film, I would be very confused.
But he knows that his friend is going to have a good life continuing on with people who are going to care for him, and that he's going to have purpose.
Yeah.
And we as the audience know that he's got a great purpose.
Yeah.
Like he's carrying the king.
Yeah. And I really love that too, that that's just kind of implied and that's up to the viewer to put that together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like that subtlety.
Yeah. That they just trust us to get that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they were making it today. They probably wouldn't make it today.
Maybe not at Disney. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. If someone would make it. I mean, and there is, have you seen The Star? I think it's by Sony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So kind of a similar story.
Yeah.
Focusing on a donkey who ends up being the one who helps Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem. And of course, there's lots of zany antics because it's more infused with modern day stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is trying to be a little more faithful to the time period that was actually set in. Although, you know, there's still plenty of cartoony mm-hmm. stuff in there with like the merchants who are singing their song.
Yeah, they're the most silly part, I would say, of the film.
They are. And apparently the merchants, that's the other thing that was changed in the version of the film that we have now versus what it originally was. There was some lyrics in their song that were changed a little bit.
Mm.
I think now it says, we'll work a little harder if we must or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original, it says something like, we'll cheat a little more if we must or something along those lines. So I think maybe they felt like there was some ethnic stereotypes that needed to be corrected in the version that we have now.
No idea, yeah.
So that's The Small One.
Yeah.
Pretty simple little story, but it is really just a beautiful, heartfelt little film.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you can find it on Disney Plus. It also came out on DVD in 2005 on a DVD called, this is a long title, Walt Disney's Classic Cartoon Favorites, Volume 9, Classic Holiday Stories. Which also includes Mickey's Christmas Carol and Pluto's Christmas Tree, which is another fun Christmas short that I remember watching growing up.
Yeah, I love that one too.
Oh, but if you want even more Small One, did you know that there is a sequel to The Small One?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's a children's picture book that was published in 1998 It's written by Catherine Brown and illustrated by Jesse Clay, and it's called The Small One, A Good Samaritan.
So was that published by Disney or another?
I was trying to find.
Oh, do you have it?
I bought a copy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I was like, I have to see this. It says Hyperion Books for Children.
I thought they had a connection. I thought that was.
Yeah, it says Disney Press.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was. Yeah,
so it is a Disney thing.
How interesting. I wonder, that makes me curious how that came about, because that seems so random given what we've already learned about the Small One movie, that there would be a sequel.
I'd be curious to know the story behind it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story behind it is, but I love that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of retelling the story of the Good Samaritan that we know from one of Jesus's parables.
Oh, huh.
It starts out with Mary and Joseph have kept the small one as a pet, basically, and he lives with little toddler Jesus. Some really, okay. really cute illustrations of him
That's
and
so
little
cute.
Like
yeah.
toddler Jesus.
Yeah.
But one day he wanders off and he falls down and gets hurt or something like that. And the boy from the movie finds him miraculously. Finds him and is staying with him, trying to take care of him as he's hurt on the side of the road. And as we know the story, two different adults pass by. I don't know if they say that they're priests or Levites or whatever, like in the original story, but two adults pass by and the boy asks for help and they just keep going. And then another man comes and ends up helping them and bringing them back to safety and giving them some money to help Small One rest and heal. And then the boy ends up taking Small One back to Joseph and telling him the story. And I think he asks the man, you know, what's your name? And the man says, my name's not important. Just know that I'm a Samaritan.
Okay.
But anyways, so the boy takes the donkey back to Joseph and tells Joseph the story of what happened. And Joseph says, wow, that's a really good story. I'm going to tell my son that story. And so the implication is that Jesus then took that story and turned it into the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that last part of it, but like the rest of it, that's kind of a very creative way of doing a spin on the Good Samaritan story.
Yeah, it's a cute little book and really cute illustrations, like I said.
Yeah.
And I think its heart is in the right place for sure.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah.
And again, for Disney to publish something 20 years later based on this short film that I don't think really was one of their better known works. And also something that directly relates to something from the Bible in 1998 is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, that makes me wonder. Isn't that around the same time that we had Prince of Egypt?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to get in on that.
Who knows?
Bible action.
Yeah, who knows?
So, any other thoughts on the Small One before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just encourage people to go check it out. It has a different feeling, you know, different vibe from a lot of other Disney films. It has great traditional animation, but I feel like just the tone of the film is very unique.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of, I don't know, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe, but it's something special.
Yeah.
And I think more people should watch it.
It's very heartfelt.
I would love to see it have a resurgence in popularity.
Yeah.
So thank you again, Monica, for being my guest.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
So remind us again where listeners can find you online.
Yep. You can go to artistmonica.com or artistmonica on Instagram or artistanimatormonica on YouTube, because artistmonica on YouTube was taken.
All right. And I don't think we brought it up on the previous episode, the How to Train Your Dragon episode, but you also have some books for sale on your website, right?
Yeah, I have mostly books featuring my characters Penguin and Peep. I have 3 graphic novels out with them and a coloring book, and they're also on Amazon.
Yeah, so if you're looking for any last minute Christmas gifts for your kids, those would probably be great choices. So I think that wraps up this episode. And thank you again, Monica, for a great discussion.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as Monica and I enjoyed making it. If you did, the best Christmas gift you could give me this year would be helping to spread the word about Tune My Heart. Whether that's leaving a rating or review on whatever platform you're listening on, posting about the podcast on social media, or telling your friends about it. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. And you can also follow Tune My Heart on social media. I'm on X, Instagram, and Facebook with the handle at Tune My Heart. Your support is always so, so appreciated. Meanwhile, I hope you'll keep an eye out for the next two Forgotten Christmas Specials episodes. If you were one of those kids who like to find your presents early instead of waiting to be surprised, there are some clues in that opening song to what they're going to be about. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season, and until next time, remember that God has a perfect plan and purpose for you.